Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. My name is Dina Mazamba, Deputy Chairperson of the MINTEC Board. Mr. Gomez will be taking us through our strategy. Thank you.
Sorry, Madam, you said you're a deputy?
Yes, I'm the Deputy Chairperson of the MINTEC Board.
Oh.
Our Chairperson, Mr. Mohau Mpumela, is out of the country. Thank you.
Thanks, Dina. Thanks, Chair, members of the committee. I thought the members slept very well yesterday because it was the longest night in the year. So I hope they are quite refreshed. So probably, Chair, you would realize that that's why you are so refreshed today compared to the other days, because you slept enough. It was a longer night yesterday. Coming back to the presentation, Chair, I would just like at the beginning to make the members aware that today we are not presenting an annual report. We presented the annual report in March of the work that we did the previous year, and we'll come back probably October, November to tell you of the work that we have done in the year 2010-11. Today, all our presentation is just an amplification of what is in this document. Nothing new, it's what is in this document. Trying to summarize what is in the document, just to refresh the members' memory. So we're not going to talk about what is it that we've done. We're going to talk about what is it that we are going to do during the course of the year. So I think that distinction is quite important. And the main part of the presentation is around the minister's parliamentary vote, where she said MINTEC is going to get 167 million rand. So we're mainly talking about the 167 million rand that is a parliamentary grant, which on it we add the 30 million rand, which is for rehabilitation, bringing it into a total of 197 million rand. That information, a summary of that information is actually on page 20 of the complex. Okay. We've got a technological problem. Oh, there it is. Chair, the way the presentation has been arranged, I've separated the presentation into two functions. We've got the core business of MINTEC, and we've got other things that we are doing. The core business of MINTEC, which is actually what is it that MINTEC was meant to do. We, on the key objectives of MINTEC, we've got R&D of efficient mineral processing technologies. We've got R&D of green technologies. That's where we talk about water and energy efficiency and waste management and recycling. And we've got also promotion of mineral-based economies. Here, that's where we talk about the rural and marginalized communities, what the influence we have in that regard. And the last one on the core business is build world-class R&D excellency. That's where we talk about our human resource development. On the other issues, that these are the, I wouldn't say secondary, but they are also primary issues, but it's not according to the real mandate of MINTEC, but are things that we're supposed to do if we have to fulfill our mandate. For example, it's upholding good governance, it's just the governance structure of MINTEC, ensuring short-term viability and long-term viability and sustainability of MINTEC, which is our financials. I've decided this time that we'll talk about the financials towards the end, not at the beginning. And the last one is just enhancing MINTEC visibility and credibility. So that's how the presentation is put up. I think here I'm just showing the structure. I think there's a member, the name of which I can't remember now, when we were here last time. If I remember very well, there were two vacancies at the executive level. And the member complained that it was an all-male dominated team that came from MINTEC. Then I said, we are not people of tokenism. We brought people who are acting, and it was going to be very easy for us, if we wanted to impress the committee, to bring people who are acting who are female. And we said we're not going to do it. We are going to bring people who have capability. And I'm happy to announce that from the 1st of May, we have Advocate Mamukete Ramoshaba, who's seated right at the end there, who's now our corporate services manager. And we also have Dr. Makapa, who joined us on the 15th of May, who's the general manager R&D. And I would like to stress to make the members also aware that it was not easy to fill the two vacant positions. For example, the position of GM R&D, we actually had to advertise twice before we could get a person. So it shows the challenge that we are having in our country, which is very, very difficult. And just to highlight, if you look at the whole picture there, that the senior management at Mintec consists of 21 positions. We currently have only one vacancy. And in the 20 people that are there, as you can see, the designated group of people is 62%. So 62% of people there are a designated group of people. Unfortunately, we have few females. I think the percentage of females is actually less than 30%. That's the difficulty that we have. Female people in the science field are highly mobile, and the salaries that we pay normally does not attract quite a number of them. So it's very difficult for us to get female people, but we are trying and improving the situation going forward. Chair, when it comes to the core business of Mintec, I think members are tired of seeing this slide, so I'll just go through it very quickly. This is the slide that is showing where CGS operates, which is on exploration, and also where CSIR operates from mining all the way to value addition, and Mintec only operates after the rock has been broken, which is from concentration downward. Coming back now to the real issues that we are here for, the next four slides, starting with this one, are actually showing us how we come up with the shareholder compact. How do we do our strategic planning? If you look at quarter one, which is where we are currently, we can see that we have already started looking at opportunities and priorities for the next shareholder compact. And then if you come to quarter two, after we've done that on quarter two, which is from July to August, we look at the guidelines for call for submissions for the following year. And then in quarter three, we always have our strategic session, which we hold together with our board, and that's where we do our budget allocation. And then in quarter four is then that everything is finalized and we come up with a compact and a business plan and the financial plan. So this is just to indicate the processes that are involved. Okay. The second slide also just shows how we concentrate and try to come up with a decent project that we are doing. If you look from the top, we already know our state grant, parliamentary grant, how much it is, and we've got the different key objectives or KPAs, we've got key performance objectives, and then from the KPA, we've got different clusters. We put in different clusters. And below the clusters, we've got the work package, and then it comes up with a different project. So if we start from the beginning, SBUs are different business units that we have at Mintec. Each and every business unit might come with its own project and say, I want to do that and that and that. I consider doing that project and that project. And then those projects are put into work packages. Because some of the projects that the divisions are doing, they're probably not doing them on their own, but together with other divisions. And that is constituted into a cluster. And every cluster is according to the key performance areas at Mintec. So according also to the allocation of the state grant. Okay, the next slide, I think, will clarify it even far much better. If you look at that slide, you can see that on the strategic objective number two, which is in the shareholder compact, which is to research and develop efficient mineral processing, we've got the following programs that you can see there, and we've got the following R&D clusters, which is what I talked about in the previous slide, for 2011-12, which is the current year that we're talking about. But next year already, we're looking at changing the definitions of the cluster. If you look at 2012 and 13, for PGM and gold, we're going to classify them as precious metal clusters and as you go along. For example, here we're looking at strategic objectives 2 and 3. The objective 3 is R&D in the green technologies. And then objective four, to promote mineral economics in rural and marginalized communities. And the last one is to build world-class R&D. So that's where mainly our parliamentary grant is focused on. Okay. Just to show you further the detailed work that we do, after we've identified which projects we are doing for each and every key objective at MINTEC. For example, we've got the different clusters. If you look at the slide on the far left, you've got the topic R&D cluster. So we've got uranium processing cluster, advanced metal processing cluster, value-added cluster. So all those are the clusters. And then we start then allocating the funds according to the work each and every division is doing. For example, you can see that we've got divisions AMD, right on the top there, written on the top there. You've got a division AMD on the top there. AMD, ASD, Bio, ESD, those are the names of the divisions at MINTEC. And for example, AMD on value-added products, that's the amount of money that they're going to spend during the year. Okay. And then the other divisions also are written the amount. If you look at the same ESD on the same value-added product, is going to spend 108, just like that. So this is just to indicate to you that we do apply, definitely apply our minds when we allocate the parliamentary grant. Okay. And then from here now, I think members probably are with me in understanding the methodology that we utilize in allocating the fund. I can just make it clear that parliamentary grant is never used for commercial purposes. Okay? It's only used for this project that we see here. Okay? For commercial projects, totally a different ballgame. So all the parliamentary grant money is earmarked for a certain function, which is this function. Okay? From here, therefore, I'll just give a quick highlight on research work. Of research work that we are going to do. The first research work that I'm going to talk about is on base metal research cluster. When it comes to base metals, in South Africa, our work is based on nickel and cobalt, which is mainly as a byproduct of PGM. And in the neighboring countries, in Zambia and Botswana, for example, we do a lot of work on copper and cobalt. And in Tanzania on nickel laterite. Why are we doing this work? Mainly is to maximize the reserve base here in South Africa and wherever we're working, and also to try and minimize energy and water consumption, minimize environmental footprint, and try to improve on analytical tools that we have at MINTEC. And the other main aim is for these countries where we're operating to improve on downstream value addition. Just to give you an example of definite projects that are there on the base metals, for example, you've got in the middle, the owner is the lead. When you've got that here, you've got the owner division that is owning the project. So it means it's the lead division in that particular project, or in most cases, it's the only division that is responsible for that project. For example, you've got MEC, which is Measurement and Control Division at MINTEC, which is doing measurement and optimization methodologies on base metals. And Bio is doing heap leaching. HMD is doing iron removal. So as it goes through the picture, I won't go through the whole thing, but it gives you an indication of the different type of work that we are doing. And another example of work that we are doing, I'll try to over-summarize here because forensic mineral characterization is a project that we have together with the regulator, that is the South African Diamond and Precious Metals Regulator. And I've been talking about this project for quite some time now. I think members must be starting to be tired to hear about this project, but it's quite an important project which is supporting the Kimberley Process Certification Scheme methodology. In this project, we're trying to build a database from the information that we get on chemical and physical attributes of diamonds. The main aim of the project is to get to a situation where when a person comes with a parcel of diamonds to you, you utilize the methodologies that we have at MINTEC, and after utilizing them, you can come back to a person and say, we think this parcel of diamonds, we've got maybe a certain confidence that this parcel of diamonds
are diamonds that come from the DRC, for example. Okay, that's the aim of the project. It's still at an infancy stage because we're still building up the database. But I'm happy to say that we've approached quite a number of South African companies which have shown interest in supplying us with parcels of diamonds for us to carry on with the study. On the outside countries, the main country that has been supporting us is the DRC. We've got quite a number of samples that we've received from the DRC, which we're analyzing. We're hopeful that as time goes by, we might be able to use this methodology in finding out exactly, as I said at the beginning, where a parcel of diamonds comes from when a person asks us. There are other institutions that are working on this. For example, the Macquarie University in Australia, but it's mainly on the academic side. The Royal Canadian Mounted Police in Canada, mainly on the forensic. The Crime Persons Group in Canada, also working on the academic side. So we're not the only people who are working on this, and there's a cooperation that we have. But the latest cooperation that we have, we're talking with we're talking with BGR of Germany to see whether these types of methodologies can be actually extended to other minerals. For example, with them, they're looking at tin and coltan. And I think members, if they are aware, in the papers, I think about 2 days ago, the World Gold Council was actually talking as to whether they could we could get to a stage where they say some of the methodologies are used also in tracing where gold comes from. So this project, as it stands, has got quite a big potential going forward. So that's done with the Diamond Provenance Lab. Now we go to the process control products. On the process control products, this is mainly the work that is done by a division that we call MAC, which is Measurement Control at MinTech. The division at MinTech actually specializes in solving specific metallurgical processes, and they produce products and hardware and software and packages. And they try and adapt and apply technology for industry use. I've decided just to give you an example with one. If you look on the top on the right there, what you see there is a cyanoprobe. Okay. This thing that you see there is a cyanoprobe. Okay. And it's used to measure the amount of cyanide that is used for leaching gold. Okay. So if you look at this, these are leach tanks. These are a leaching tank. So you can put it anywhere, either before you put your cyanide into the leach in order for you to know the exact amount of cyanide that you're putting in. Okay. In each and every step, as you continue, you can put it. This is exactly the same as that being shown in the picture where you can put it. But the most critical part where it helps a lot is to measure your cyanide that goes to your tailings. Okay, that's as your off product after treating your gold, the off product that you don't need, you take it to the tailing dam. So you measure your cyanide how much cyanide is there in your tailings because of the negative environmental impact cyanide has. So you need to know, because there are standards as to how much cyanide should be in your tailing. So that instrument works there. So there are quite a number of other instruments that we with this division developed that help us in all different work that we are doing at MinTech. But I decided just to give you one example. Yeah. So the next issues that I'll be talking to, work that we are doing at MinTech that I will be talking to, is on water and energy efficient processing, and on a bit on international collaboration that we have, especially for trying to resource more funding, and also on PGM processing. South Africa is actually second only to Russia in using the highest amount of electricity to produce a unit of GDP. And I think all of us know the reason why is because historically South Africa has been a low energy cost. And we have also a large energy-intensive resource extraction component in South Africa. So those are the reasons. But if you look at the mining sector compared to the other sectors, you can see, for example, where a high amount of energy is utilized, or electricity is utilized. Firstly, on the mining sector, you can see in the orange there, the orange denotes mineral or metal activity on that graph. You can see number four is the gold mining sector, okay, and followed by aluminium, and then platinum, ferrochrome. So you can really see that we really, as the sector, consume quite a lot of electricity or energy. And therefore, that's why at Mintec, we have tried to come up with quite a number of ways that can be utilized in order to reduce the energy usage in the mining sector. As you can see in the picture there, we've got on the right hand, on this side, on the left hand side, you've got the smelter there. And the smelters that we use at Mintec, we try to use new technologies where we've got a reduction of energy usages. And also on the right-hand side, we've got a dig for metal recovery crush, which crushes the slag, which is also one of the ways of trying to reduce energy consumption. And the next slide, again, for reduction of the amount of ore that we treat. I think members can remember when we did our annual report, we also had this picture showing the sorter, the Komatla sorter, and also showing the rate of sorter that we have. These are the sorters that we're trying to put up in the market in collaboration with other people in trying to reduce the amount of rock that we put through a system for crushing in order for us to extract whatever minerals that we're extracting in it. Because if you put less rock into the system, it means you're going to use less energy rather than putting a lot of rock on it. So the next slide, then, I'll be talking about the funding. Our trying to get more funding from other resources. Here, for example, I'm talking in terms of the international collaboration that we are trying by targeting funding from the EU. I just have to caution the members that this takes a long time into getting into it. And if you look at it, it's not that a lot of funding, but the most important thing is if we are in, then you are able to leverage and going forward and maybe be able to get more funding. Because if you actually look at it, the amount of money where they utilize for mining issues is only at that level. It's not a lot of money, but if you are able to influence, then it's better than just sitting and saying, I will get money somewhere. So we're trying to get to subsidize whatever parliamentary grant we have on trying to get other sources for money. If you look at this slide, Mintec is the only non-EU member which is part of this group. You can see the other companies that are there, BHP, Billiton, non-South African companies operating in South Africa, Rio Tinto, non-South African companies operating in South Africa. But in South Africa, we're the only one. And with this work that we are doing, we will try wherever to have quite a lot of cooperation with other South African companies in order for us to be able, as a group, to source quite some funding from the EU. It's not easy, and it takes time. And we spend money traveling in order to be able to source this funding, and that should be always considered. But I think probably in some members' minds, there's already a question of saying, why do we think we're going to succeed? As Mintec, what we think we are going to succeed because we call ourselves a one-stop shop. Okay, you can get all these things that you are seeing in the picture at Mintec, and which is very rare. In most cases, you get one company doing only one work and not doing the other work. But at Mintec, you've got your grinders, you've got your hydrological work, you've got your bio-leaching, you've got everything in one place. So that's the advantage that we have. Now, Chair, I'll move to what we're going to do on the PGM cluster. Why are we involved with the PGM cluster? We're involved in order for us to, the same as in base metal, to maximize reserve base, but the most critical one is to minimize energy and water usages. also to develop downstream use of PGMs, and also looking at PGM recycling, and also to improve analytical and mineralogical methods. I think members are now getting a bit tired of me of showing this picture. Okay, just jog your memory. This is what you call it, Mintec Bay 2, which is the Conrad project that we have had. I think members are aware that we did, when I reported during the annual report, I told them how much toll smelting we've done with the project. And currently, Jubilee is building their own smelter in Middelburg using the same technology that we developed together with them, which is our Mintec control technology, which they are paying for. But on the other hand, as a science institution, we felt that we should continue developing this system, mainly at looking at the product that we have. Currently, the product that we get here are big slabs, you know, very big slabs, and which is difficult to transport them, which is difficult to assay them to find out as to how much PGM, for example, is in them. So now the next project that we are looking at, if you look at this part is actually this, okay, in that picture, that's this part, okay. So this is what we currently have now. So now we want to put up what we call an atomizer, which is the whole of that system. Okay? An atomizer is, I would say, a pressurized water type thing that when you have your heated product, remember in a smelter you have a heated product. When you have a heated product, if you pour quickly water in a certain angle on it, then it will come up as small balls rather than as a big slab. Okay? Because currently what we do, the product that we have from here gets in here, if you remember the smelter, we pour it here, which is into a container like this. Okay? And when you pour it in a container like this, then once it's cool, you take that container, you turn it upside down, and the whole big slab comes in. So we're avoiding that by deciding to construct this. Because then what it means? It means that product will be put into something like this, right, and carried up there and be brought in there. As you pour it, then the atomizer system pours some water into it so that it comes up as small things. Okay? The ideal situation would have been if we didn't have a floor here, because the product then, you would fill it down here and have the whole of that thing down here. But now, because we've got a floor here that you cannot remove, unfortunately, what we have done is your whole product, right, will come in here and move this thing up there. You have to move it by putting cranes on the top. Okay? Our estimation currently are that the whole adaptation of this is going to cost us something like 46 million rand. Sorry? It will be more costly to dig down. Okay. You need quite a lot to dig down. It's better than to use the overhead crane that is already there. You might just need to improve the tonnage of the overhead crane rather than going down. So this is actually taking forward the Conrad process. Because, for example, after the tolling that we've done with Jubilee, when we went around and try and look for clients who can use the facility that we have at Mintec, nobody was interested, mainly because of the big product that we have. Because it's difficult to assay it, so they end up not knowing how much PGM they have in it. So whether it's either we say that's the end of the control system at Mintec, or we reinvest and put 46 million rand to try and see whether this will work and help the industry going forward so that the product is in a way that everybody is happy to utilize. Just to remind members as to why this project, we've supported this project as Mintec. The original idea was that all the new entrants in the mining sector don't have smelter. Okay. They will need at some point to develop their own smelter. And therefore we looked at a technology that is going to be viable, especially for new entrants and BEEs in the mining sector. And we still vouch that Jubilee is a BEE company. That's why they are going on with doing, making, building up their own smelter. And we hope as we refine and improve the contract system, that more SMMEs or more BE companies or more new entrants will utilize that rather than being tied to the big companies that are operating in South Africa. So we're trying to have them to be a bit independent. So this is the main work that we do on the GM. I think all the previous work that I talked about was mainly on the core business of Mintec, but not mainly real value addition. It's more on extractive metallurgy than value addition. So now I'll give an example on semi-finished products or advanced products. Okay. So what I was talking about all along was on the smelting, refining, milling, and concentrating. So now I'll talk on semi-finished products and advanced products. And the main division at Mintec that is responsible for that work is the Advanced Materials Division, or AMD. I think also with this one, we have been talking about it several times to members. So I'll just run through it quickly. We've got four subdivisions that's on biomedical, on catalysis, nano, and physical metallurgy. If members can remember, these were the projects that we started together with the gold mining company. So most of the work is based on developing applications for processing of gold or other base metals and ferrous metals. So on the biomedical, it's just on gold-based drugs, which is your HIV, malaria, and cancer. And then on the catalysis, it's the work that we do on fuel cells and the environment. And on the nano, is the work that we do mainly with the universities on NIC, which is on water and health, which is, so those are on physical, and then on physical metallurgy, it's a lot of R&D work that we do in physical metallurgy with the industry support. Just to give an example, we actually do some work also for companies like your Transnet on the rail, wagon wheels to see how they can how sustainable are the wheels that they are utilizing. So it's quite a lot of work, and most of the work that we do in this area, we do with quite a number of other players. And then on the promotion of mineral-based economies, if you remember, members, I said this is the work that we do in the rural areas of South Africa. And also with the marginalized communities. This is SMME development in a nutshell. This is done mainly by the division at Mintec called Small-Scale Mining and Beneficiation. Our major involvement, as I said, is in SMME development, and we actually support the SMMEs that have been developed with us. We actually fully support them for a period of 2 years and see whether they are sustainable. Currently, we are looking at a target of 60% sustainability, meaning therefore that if we've developed this year 10 SMMEs, we expect that after 2 years, at least 6 of them are still in operation. And currently, on this financial year that we are reporting for, we will be training about 300 persons. Okay? And I'm happy to announce that with the relationship that we have had with MQA, they've agreed to fund us. Something like, I thought Babu Mtshali would be here today. Because this was meant for him. Because if members remember the previous time, he grieved me on it. We've been able to get funding from MQA, but only for training. At the cost of MQA is prepared to pay something like 42,000 rand per a learner who has a disability, to the maximum of 17 learners. Okay, which I think is quite encouraging. Okay, unfortunately, this does not cover site establishment, machinery that is used for the project. It only sponsor the payment of the training, but I would say it's a step in the correct direction. Okay. The next slide, Chair, it's on the rehabilitation, the DMR program on rehabilitation of owners and derelict mines. I did show members this picture previously, that when we arrived in one of the areas in Kuruman, this is how it looked like. After we left, it looked something like that. Okay. In the current year, we've got 10 projects, 10 sites that we are supposed to rehabilitate, to help manage their rehabilitation. Three of them are in Kuruman. I think Bob Lucas will be happy to see that we are now going to start to be involved on rehabilitating the Old Season project. Okay. So it will be the beginning of it. We'll be managing that program, which is an old problem that has been there for ages. So we are now involved, and I hope if Mintec is involved, it means it will happen. Okay. So the other projects that we have are mainly asbestos project in Limpopo. There's one site in Masese, there's one site in Kromelenburg, there's one site in Penge, and then there's two sites, there's one site in Priska, there's also a quarry, a dolerite quarry in the Sikisiki. So those are the projects that the funding has been given to us to manage and see how far we can go with them. I can already anticipate questions from members who are saying, is the money adequate? I can assure members that amount of money is never adequate. Okay, the 30 million rands that we have, I can tell you now, we'll never be able to finish all this project. But what we are saying is that we've got a target of finishing this project, and we believe that our performance will make the members to stand on the side of the DMR and allow us to continue and finish off this work, because this is work that has been outstanding for quite a number of years. And also on rehabilitation, members, I hope members still remember that we have the SAVMIN, which is a machinery that we are continuing to develop with an internationally known company in the water field, Viola, to improve the SAVMIN process that we have at Mintec, which is for treatment of acid mine drainage. So we are still working together with Viola to try and improve what we have. We know it works because it has worked in the past. The only problem was the cost, that it was working at a very high cost of treating acid mine drainage. And we are hopeful that working with a big water utility company, we might be able to cut some other parts that are there or steps that are there in order for us to make it economic viable. So if it's economic viable, probably in a few years' time, I'll be sitting here and saying that Mintec is treating the acid mine water that everybody is so scared of. Okay. So on the main task or the core work of Mintec are finished. Now I'm going to on building world-class R&D excellency, which is where I said I'll talk about human issues. I've got a few slides about two slides on the human issues. I think I didn't dwell much when I saw on putting a lot of slides in this field when I saw the program chairperson, because I realized that this time it's the Council of Cultural Science who are going to talk first, because we've got common problems. Exactly the same problems that I had at the CGS are the problems that we have at Mintec. So I won't dwell into them of saying, for example, what percentage designated people we have and all that, how many females we have and bursary programs, dwell too much on it, because we have identical problems. But what I'm trying to show here is the number of bursaries that we are going to give. If, for example, you look at the baseline, which is the previous year, we on postgraduate bursaries, we are trying to increase the numbers on postgraduate bursaries. We're trying to decrease the numbers on undergraduate. The reason is there's a high failure rate on the undergraduate, okay? Especially first year and second year. So we're trying to concentrate, because once a person has failed twice, thrice, it means it's a sunken money. You're not going to get it back, and that's it. You just have to walk away. But if you concentrate on post-grad, it's people who are matured, who understand, and normally the failure rate is zero. So we're trying to concentrate on that level. And why we're concentrating on that level is because we have a shortage at that level at Mintec. Okay? We've got a high shortage at a higher educational level. So that's why we're concentrating on that. And the next slide is on percentage staff enrolled. You can see that we're trying to increase the percentage staff with a master's degree in the 3 years, and also the same, trying to increase the staff with a PhD. Okay? And at the same time, we've put quite a number of measurements to try and reduce the staff turnover. I'll come to the staff turnover, the impact of the staff turnover also, I think, when I talk about the hurdles that we have at MINTEC towards the end. Okay? But we're putting retention strategies. They are in place. Now I come to what I call non-core issues. Okay? Non-core issues for me is things like the finances. Okay? We cannot work without finances or looking at finances. But MINTEC was not meant to be there to make money or to look at finances. MINTEC was created to look at research in the mining sector and develop research. That's our core function. And that's where we're supposed to be funded. We're not being funded in order to make a profit. We're funded in order for us to meet the obligations that some parliamentarians years before the members here came decided that there will be a company that is state-owned that will be called MINTEC for doing research in the mining sector. But then we classify the funds that we get, we classify them in four categories. The first category is what we're talking about here now, which is our parliamentary grant. Okay? But then in some other instances, some companies come to us, like Jubilee says, guys, can we improve your smelter in that way and that way? And that money, therefore, is classified as contracted research. Okay? So meaning, therefore, that from the money that we used to classify in the past as a commercial work, there is also research that is done from that money. It's not purely commercial. There is part of research. Okay, as I've made an example with the control. And the other work is the other monies we classify as product and services. Okay, so this is product sold, the advice and expertise that we give, the training that we provide to other people. That is classified as product and services. And then you also have what you call other income. Other income is income like rental of space, interest that we get with the monies that we put with the banks. And we also have a small conference facility at MINTEC, and we do get some money off it. So this is the main classification that we have of our finances at MINTEC. But then the next slide shows what I say is a very painful picture. Okay? If you look at these bars here, the bars show us the amount of money that we are getting from the parliamentary grant starting from 1968. So we trace back from 1968 as to what we were getting. This is how the money on the parliamentary grant has been increasing. You can see there it was increasing quite nicely until there. It plateaued there, which is around 1999 or so. Just plateaued there, then we started again coming up slightly, and then again you can see starting from here coming up slightly, okay? But this is not solely a parliamentary grant. This is parliamentary grant together with other grants that we get from the DMR. For example, your 30 million rands of rehabilitation is also put in here, okay? So but it shows you how the parliamentary grant has increased since 1968, compared to the commercial activities of MINTEC. You can see how the commercial activities have been going. You know? They've been increasing exponentially, which therefore creates a certain perception that we should be aware of, that where these institutions put in place in order for them to be commercial, or these institutions were put in place in order for them to be research-focused in order to help the South African mining sector. That's the question that the parliamentarians must answer. It's not for me. I'm just posing the question. But then, however, if you look the past 3 years, I mean the past 2 years, these 2 years, you can see that the downturn. Okay, this is purely because of the economic meltdown. But coming back in more detail now, showing the profitability levels of Mintec, I'm showing you income and expenditure from 2008 and 9. You can see in 2010 that we just broke even. Okay, from in 2009 we made huge profit, around 39 million rand for profits. Look at the side on the right hand side. For revenues and expenditure is this side. The net profit is on this side. Okay, you can see that from something like 39 million rand, we came crashing down to something like was it 700,000 to something like 700,000, and this year 2010 we've made a lot. Okay, but we are hopeful because if you look at almost all the mining companies, except for the gold mining companies, you see a similar graph, exactly the similar graph. Okay, but then the levels of losses are not the same. Okay, we're actually fortunate that last year we never made a loss, we just broke even, but this year we've made a loss, and we already see an improvement. So we think from next year again we'll go back to surpluses as indicated in the graph. This graph just shows where we get our revenue and how we project it's going to increase from the state grant. We're hopeful that Treasury going forward will fulfill the obligations that we put here of the increase of the state grant. Contract research, the same, we're showing it there. Products and services, you can see 2011, the actual is very low, but we're hopeful that we'll go back to this one, products and services. We're hopeful we're here currently in this financial year, which we're leaving, we've just left. We're hopeful that it's gonna improve going forward. This is just showing where do we get our revenue from contract research. Okay, something like 18% we get local commercial work. Okay. From foreign companies, something like 11%. From other government funding, 49%. It's mainly, this other government funding is mainly from the GST. Okay, on contract research. It's work that we do for the GST. But then it's not classified as a parliamentary grant because it's typical research work on a grant purpose that we do. So in essence, what he's saying is that a lot of our work that in the past used to classify as commercial, it's actually from commercial work but for government, okay, which is your contract research. And then our expenditure, you can see that on that, that the main expenditure that we have is on staff costs. Okay? It's on permanent staff. That's where we spend quite a lot of our money. Okay. And then this is a very interesting slide showing where we spend our main money, okay, our capital expenditure. Our main money, we spend it on laboratory equipment. That is upgrading the equipment that we have, just a bit on IT equipment. And the main one now that we are going to spend is on the atomizer, which is something like 46 million. But mainly, most of our money is spent on laboratory equipment. The next slide, I think I did show members at some point, and I also showed Treasury at some point when we went for medium-term expenditure framework. And I'm not happy to announce that this slide never helped me to get money for infrastructure development at Mintec. Okay? This is showing one of the areas at Mintec to show that how our infrastructure is aging. Okay? And after not getting money from Treasury, we didn't sit idle. We used some of our money that we have at Mintec to try and beautify Mintec. It doesn't show very well in the picture, but if I can just try to highlight, for example, on this picture here, you can see the big grayish there, and also here you've got some grayish colors. This is the reigniting of the building that we started at Mintec. And I can tell you, if you can come in 3 months' time, don't come now, come in 3 months' time to see the areas that we've covered, how beautiful they'll be looking. Unfortunately, we cannot cover the whole of MINTEC because of the finances, but we'll continue with the little money that we save, the surpluses that we continue saving. We will continue trying to beautify the MINTEC campus because it's quite important for our for visibility of MINTEC. You know, you will never invest your money in a dilapidated business. You will never bring business to a place that you see is collapsing. I think you can see how Parliament, how nice it looks like, and it's quite, people get very happy to come and see and visit here because it's a nice looking place. That's exactly what we want to do to MINTEC. However, in any business, you do have hurdles. I'm trying to run away from the common term that is used of challenges. Because I think we've overused that term. We have hurdles. We have hurdles that we've got to go through. And we know we're going to go through them, but they are there. Okay? The first one is the staff turnover. You can see that this year we said we've got 12% and we're budgeting 10%. And I can assure members it's going to be very, very difficult. It's a very difficult challenge. If you look last year, we had 12% and it was during the economic crisis. Companies are not poaching as much. Now, the things are getting better. I mean, a few months ago, we lost one of our two young people who went to the DRC at more than double the salary we're offering them at MINTEC. Okay? And there's nothing you can do. There's just nothing you can do. But we continue trying to reduce that. That is coupled with what I call the next bullet, what I call younging of the institution. Some people will be happy and say, you know, we're happy to see that we've got young people in this institution. It's encouraging. We can see where our future is going. But I get worried. I'll give you an example. In 2005, the average age of people at MINTEC was 46 years. That's the average age, was 46 years. And those people have had an average of 8.5 years MINTEC experience. Okay? Today, in 2011, we've got average age of people at MINTEC is 36.8. Somebody says, it's quite good. We've got young people, young blood, you know, the good ideas and all that. But when you look at the average experience, MINTEC experience, not total experience, average MINTEC experience of those people has dropped to something like 6 years. Meaning, therefore, that the knowledge base is decreasing. And our work depends mainly on the knowledge base that the people have. So the more the institution becomes younger, is the more your clients run away from you. Okay? I'll give you a... Let me see whether I have it here. I had a very interesting statistic that I've put down here. If you look at us here as executives of MINTEC, the experience we have at MINTEC is 7 years. We've got among together, grouped up together, and say, what experience does this team have? A MINTEC experience. I'm not saying total experience in the environment, but MINTEC experience. Because having MINTEC experience is quite important because once you understand how MINTEC works, we are able to advertise MINTEC. You can get to any place. You can tell them about everything that is happening at MINTEC. Okay? Amongst us here, as you see us here, we've got a 7 years MINTEC experience amongst us. But Roger Paul is leaving us in September, Roger. Yeah. Roger Paul is going on retirement at the end of September because he feels retired now at the age of 63. He wants to go home. The retirement age at MINTEC is 60 years, and we requested him to stay over, but now he feels retired, wants to sit at home and enjoy his life, and we cannot stop him. Roger has got 35 year experience at MINTEC. Okay. If now he leaves MINTEC, right, and we employ a new person from outside MINTEC, not from MINTEC, from outside MINTEC, the average experience of this executive will be only two years. 2 years MINTEC experience. Compounding it, if I decide to leave MINTEC at the end of my first term of contract, which is next year, and MINTEC decides to employ somebody from outside, not from within MINTEC, the team that will be there will be having an average of 1 year MINTEC experience. Mm-hmm. So that's how serious things are.
We're not going to listen.
Hence that's why I'm saying I've put this as a major hurdle of younging of the institution. Because in most cases, people look at this as a positive. And I'm saying it's not necessarily a positive. Okay. And the next hurdle that we have, which I won't talk much because CGF TV talked quite a lot about it, it's funding. Okay. We have seen, as I was talking, that I've been trying to show you other funding models that we are trying as an institution. And we will continue. And the last one is the aging of the infrastructure, and I've showed you how we are trying to address it. So in essence, all the hurdles that we have ways of trying to address them, but they are not enough. Chairperson, I think that summarizes the work that we're going to do, and if there are any questions, the team is here, because I actually said yesterday there's no free ride to Cape Town. We're all here in order to answer the questions. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Mintek. Quite a clear presentation, and in fact, you're refreshing our memories on a number of issues that we have engaged with you on. But members, yes, there's the presentation from Mintek. Let's engage. Honorable Lucas, Honorable Hululu, Honorable Schmidt.
I just want to say the staff issue is a serious issue, because you find all over, when you haven't got sufficient funds to pay your experienced members, that's what happens. You cannot hold them. They go to the highest bidder, and that is a fact. The other thing that what I think I heard Mr. Gomazuru saying, no, he'd rather get people who have the experience. But we should try and get our own homegrown. We should start there with a little, so we know that these people are here and they can be nurtured through university, get in there. But then again, you still cannot hold them. There's no way you can make them sign and say they're going to serve so many years in the industry. That it is a major problem. I sympathize with you guys because I know what it can do. The question I'd like to ask, what does business, mining houses, put into this? Do they come here and ask for advice? Do they pay for it? And or is the government, is there some tax that they should? That's what I would imagine, that because of the work you're doing, it is related to mining. They should be taxed in some way to pay something towards this, because this would be hell. And I'm so taken up with this atomizer. I think it's when you look at the old one and you look at what you put here, it's a real. It's you can see it's forward looking. It is a question I'd like: is this mobile? Could you move it and set it up and take it nearer the mining areas, instead of having to transport the stuff to, and then you could also plan it differently. You could make the modifications that you want in a new building. Okay, thank you, Mr. Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honourable Hon.
Thank you very much, Chair. Let me also thank the Mintek team for the presentation, and feel very sorry for them of the situation there. Oh, we feel very sorry for you. But we'll try and help. I mean, we'll try and help there and there. Not in terms of money, but support, morality, and all that. Yeah. Of course, I've got a few set of questions, so. The general questions, of course. On your hurdles, actually, I just wanted to check if you are Schedule 2 or Schedule 3, according to the PFMA, if you could borrow money on your own from wherever. That will be the first one. And the second one, actually, it's on these parcels of diamond. In that, what do you do if, for instance, you find out that these diamonds are from one of the conflict countries? Do you report that case to the police? What do you do with the parcels, with the ore? That would be the second one. The third one, actually, it's a question that I've been asking myself since I was growing up. You know this, what they call a meteorite? I don't know. Yeah, I seem not to know. But it's rocks that they fall from the sky.
Meteorite.
What is it?
Meteorite.
Meteorite, yes. I just wanted to check if you could just explain that to me. Are there any rocks up there? Where do they come from, actually? You know, and if there's any, are they of any value? Or it's just a rock that falls from above? And then, of course, the last one would be on the slide 24, on the research budget from the European Union. I see there it's a budget of 53 billion pounds. How much is that in rand? Yeah. And then the last one here, sorry, it's on the what you call on the beneficiation. You know, cabinet has approved, I mean, this beneficiation strategy now, and I know a number of companies, actually people who have just formed companies. They want to start manufacturing jewelry and all that. Are you assisting those people? That is to beneficiate these products or what? Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honourable Schmidt.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm really impressed with your presentation because for the first time in a very long time, I see there are page numbers or slide numbers at the bottom, because one is always referring to a slide, you don't know where to refer to. So, well done. The first thing I'd like to ask is the slide 4 or 52. There's a graphical display. I'm not quite sure I understand the bottom lines. If you could just explain to me the bottom lines. You say MINTEC, CSIR, Council for Geoscience. I'm not sure I understand the full picture. Slide number 37, the Atomire plant. In what relationship, contractual or otherwise, do you stand with the department concerning the development of this particular plant? In other words, are you the instructed organ of state to ensure that they're a proper and a functional A and B purifying system is ready and workable when the need be. Thirdly, the slide 51, the younging of the institution. I suppose that any individual who has a bursary or is funded with a bursary as a student has contractual obligation to work back. I suppose that in most instances, they work back the contractual period and then leave in any way. That seems to be the problem. And then lastly, our very good parliamentary researcher has indicated that somewhere in your performance targets, you say that you to develop and support economically sustainable small, micro, and medium enterprises, and thus, and it says a few issues there, creating 10 new businesses, creating 144 jobs, ensuring that 73% of businesses are still in existence after 1 year, ensuring that 60% of businesses are still in existence after 2 years. How does one do that? Because I know the normal average is 80% of businesses in the first year basically closed down, I think it is. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you very much, Honourable Bigani.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thanks for the presentation, but I think what is becoming more and more evident, we might have to have a way of looking into our succession planning strategies as a whole in the public service. Because I think it's been a repeated song that every time
MINTEC, Geoscience, in fact even DMR itself come, they have this challenge of people who are leaving the industry. Perhaps we should then do an introspection ourselves on the way we, the budget, like we've raised it several times, the BRRR and versus the way the departments are funded. But most of all, I think there needs to be an improved focus, Chair, with the, I don't know if this now goes to the Planning Commission or to the Department of Honorable Trevor, but it does look like perhaps something needs, some footing needs to be put down in terms of the succession strategies that we might need to look into in terms of models that are there and perhaps what's best used in other areas of the country. Because, I mean, until when are we going to continue commenting on this, but continue still to lose people in the industry? But I'm starting to think that we can talk and talk and talk here, but at the end of the day, it's got a lot to do with our BRRR and our succession planning strategies that are perhaps not properly in place, properly placed or correctly practiced, and it's a constitutional matter, so it's just another area to look into. To promise, we can't promise anything here, but we might have to start focusing elsewhere, perhaps. It's a challenge to the committee. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you very much. Would you care to respond to those questions?
Thanks very much, Chair. Let me start with the first one, because it's a bit dear to my heart. There was a question on the bursars and the younging of MINTEC and the staff turnover. Just to recap on it again. I had a discussion with a few young people who have just joined at MINTEC, who were about 3 years at MINTEC, and then I said to them, what is it that makes you guys not to be happy at MINTEC after 3 years? Okay. Because most of them stayed for 3 or 4 years. That means when their bursary obligation expires, then they disappear. Okay. And then one said to me, you know, the problem that we have is that on the first day when we arrived at MINTEC, was even a project. We work on a project, which is quite good. But the following year, you work also another project. The other year, other project. So there's no change of work. From day one, you arrive at MINTEC, you become a project person. You only grow, maybe you become a project manager, or you only grow, but you do exactly one and the same thing. So as from the beginning of next year, the new recruits that are coming up next year, we've decided that for the first year, they will be rotating in the different divisions to find their footing and understand MINTEC for the whole year. So we don't expect much from them. So it's a sort of a training program for a year, or for them to understand MINTEC and not work in one division. Because therefore they're not working in one division, they'll be entertained for the whole year. And we'll also be looking at other skills, you know, your presentation skills and things like that, for them to build them, management skills, just to build them for a year. Okay. Unfortunately, financially, we cannot afford it, because the idea was, let's do it for 2 years, but we cannot afford it. So we think that will also help in increasing the number of years that they spend at MINTEC. Okay. So that's one thing. But there's another side of it that we were talking about, was maybe we're employing people who are not correct to stay at MINTEC. Because if you look at MINTEC current history, we're mainly employing engineers. We're not employing scientists. Roger is a scientist. That's why he stayed so many years at MINTEC, because he enjoys as a scientist. So there's a big difference. An engineer wants action, and that's where a lot of poaching is. If you take a PhD graduate in physics, because there's lots of work he can do at MINTEC, a PhD graduate in chemistry, there's a lot of work you can do at MINTEC. That person is going to stay longer than a mining engineer, than a metallurgist. He's going to stay longer because there's the opportunity for him to be poached is lesser, and he enjoys what he's doing. Okay, I'll stop there on the young before I get carried away. Chapter 6. Can we share the questions? Atomizer, B2, meteorite, EU. Can I see how far we can go? Let's share the questions, starting with Peter. Sagi, you'll talk on the financial one that we asked, and then if ever there's anything remaining after everybody's finished, I'll come back and wrap it up. Some of the questions.
Okay.
Atomizer.
Shall I kick off?
Whichever one to start first, I'll take that. So as far as you guys answer it.
I'll start off with the atomizer. The question was whether it was mobile. It can be relocated closer to the mine. No, it isn't, because this plant is very dependent on that furnace, that very large furnace that A pointed out. So, in fact, the hot metal that goes through the atomizer originates from that furnace. And that furnace draws 5 megawatts of power. It's got an enormous transformer. It's in total, it weighs upwards of 80 tons. Now, we can't move that plant. But what is important is the concept is mobile. So the ultimate concept is that the industrial plant would be situated closer to the mines.
Okay.
And away from Mintek. The long-term solution is not a large industrial facility at Mintek, but decentralized facilities elsewhere. But that particular plant can't be moved. That was the one on the atomizer. The question on the meteorite and the value. Well, meteorites originate from these little asteroids that circulate around. And although I'm not a, what would be the word for it, a space expert, et cetera.
Astronomer.
Mm-hmm. Basically, most of them, upwards of 90% of this, these lumps that circulate around the universe, burn up when they enter our atmosphere. So, in fact, they don't get close to the Earth. So you've got an enormous amount of space material drifting around, and fortunately it burns up when it enters and doesn't land on us. The few that we actually see are either very, very small or very large events that happened millions of years ago, like the Chuang crater north of Pretoria. There's the one south of Johannesburg, etc. And they gave rise to these enormous meteorological events in the Earth, wiped out the dinosaurs, etc. So the tonnage of material that lands on Earth is very, very small and is not economic to treat. So it's only a scientific interest, no more. Do they contain metals? Very definitely. In fact, it's a very important field of research to see what metals they actually do contain. So things like manganese, cobalt, obviously iron, titanium, etc., they're relatively high, particularly the more dense metals. So the metals are there, but they don't have the tonnage and the mass to be of any economic interest. Certain countries are actually looking at, seriously, it's not just science fiction, they are looking at mining the moon, etc. There are very large programs in the US that are looking at techniques and so on that can be applied to mining other planets.
EU budget.
The EU budget, in fact, you asked how much that was in rand terms. Well, it's 53 billion euros, which at the exchange rate at the moment of about 10 to 1 is over 500 billion rand, so half a trillion rand. And even the small segment that Abe showed that is applied to earth sciences and mining, etc., that's a very small slice of their overall priority. Even that, in fact, is 50 billion rand. So enormous sums of money. But this covers their space research, nuclear work, their social development, etc. But on the basis of going to where the money is, this is why we're going to the EU. We're looking at Japan, we're looking at Korea, we're looking at the EU, because that's where the money is. Abe, any other questions I can handle?
No, I think Saki on Honorable Khulu's feeling sorry for us. He asked whether what schedule are we? Can we borrow money? And I'll just address it more broadly than his question.
Thanks, through you, Chairperson. We are a Schedule 3 company. We can borrow money, but we still have to go through the normal processes of treasury approval and so on. But we can borrow money.
The other one is the mining companies, are they paying us?
Oh, yeah, that it relates mainly to the commercial work and as well as the contract work. Any work that is done with the mining companies, they actually do pay us at a rate, and we do f- for every project work that we engage with the mining companies, we normally say we charge them with a 20% profit on any project work that we engage on. Actually, if you looked at the some of the projects that were listed by the CEO, the most of the money, which is about 200 and close to 200 million, comes from the mining, from the sector.
Okay, Makapa on the diamond.
Yeah, I think the question of whether do we report to the police. The issue of the diamond conflict is mainly a UN-driven project to identify, you know, where are these diamonds coming from, because they used to buy weapons.
There was a question on SMMEs to survive. I think maybe let me explain how we are involved in the whole program. What happens is currently it's the mining companies and also the education department in the Northwest that we mainly involved with. The department in the Northwest has got an ABET program. And as I said in our annual report presentation, ABET is adult basic education and training. But everybody else does the ABE part of it and not training. So they've contracted us as MINTEC to do the training, meaning therefore the whole funding of developing those projects comes directly from the education department. We only train. But then they've developed this SMME of people with a disability. So in our training, we also train them on financial skills and things like that, okay, for them to stay on and survive. But they continue getting the funding from the Department of Education with the aim that as they progress, the funding will keep on decreasing and decreasing in order for them to be viable. Hence, that's why the success rate is high, because they always have a bit of funding support in supporting them. So that's why in this one it's a bit more successful. We do the same thing also with the mining companies. So that's why the success rate is high. But as we go forward, we market them also. We market their products. Okay, so that's how it becomes successful. beneficiation strategy, we've been always doing beneficiation as MINTEC, and we'll continue helping and assisting the beneficiation line in South Africa. I think the last one that is remaining was the value chain slide. Can we move you off the chair?
Okay. And I'll ask Roger to explain it better than me. Okay. To show that he has been at MINTEC for 35 years.
The mining value chain starts at the left-hand side with exploration. Once you've identified the mineral deposit, there's mining, and then there are a series of metallurgical processing steps ending up in refining and then conversion of that into value-added products. The lines at the bottom merely show that the Council for Geosciences is involved only in exploration. They are not involved in mining or any of the metallurgical processing. The CSIR actually has a special division devoted to mining, deep level mining and safety, and seismic events in underground mining. And they also have a number of operating divisions that work in similar areas as MINTEC does across to value addition. MINTEC starts only once the ore is above ground and goes into the crushers. And we move from that point onwards to the right.
Thanks, Chair. I think the old man has spoken. I'd rather be silent. Thanks very much, Chair.
Thank you very much.
Yes?
Just one more question. How realistic would it be? I'm just thinking of a situation where you mentioned something about a smelter earlier on, where a mine is actually interesting, especially small-scale miners. I think there's one coming up in DR, and they've just been approved their mining rights, where you could actually attach yourself, or rather say, I don't know, pilot a project with them. Would it not be a benefit or something new to attach yourself to them in a way, assisting them to develop, for one, and also then to advise, even perhaps like you are indicating that you are having people that you can assist and train in stones and so on, just give them the relevant support perhaps to be able to carry such a task forward, because I'm just starting to think if they'll be able to maintain themselves, as it's also a company of women, by the way.
I think, Chair, we are always there to help if we are approached, because once you are approached, then that you understand the conditionalities or the conditions that people are under. So we're always willing to help. Yeah. I mean, it depends what help they need. If it's a chargeable fee, then we need to charge for that fee. Because there's no other way. Otherwise, you're going to kill us.
Okay, honourable members, I think that handles the interaction with the strategy plan of MINTEC, and I can say that we are all satisfied. Suffice to say that to MINTEC, the question of funding, especially for research and development, is uppermost in our minds. You must have noted that we've raised it during the budget vote, and we raised it in the context of, the research capabilities of the country as a whole, and also in relation to the expenditure patterns of other countries in terms of their own research. We will then look at what best mechanisms can we use in the country. It would be possible maybe for us to engage National Treasury to pose these questions in the light of us constructing a developmental state and basically understand their basis of funding, you know, the government institutions and in general, but in particular institutions that are to do with research and development work, you know, in the country. And that for yourselves as MINTEC, once we understand what is contained in the beneficiation strategy that is set to be approved by cabinet, we would engage you further, because as you have taken us through even in the last time when we visited you, there are possibilities in terms of developing final products out of our minerals, and we would want to see what is in the strategy and compare that to the knowledge that you have given us in terms of how far can we go down the line in terms of the downstream beneficiation of our minerals. So yes, we will engage you further on that, because it's one of the areas that we would want to ensure that it is, you know, handled quite properly from the beginning, so that we are also able to create jobs in that area. Honourable members, I think as we have indicated, it's quite clear. Can we then move to accepting the strategy?
Yes, Chair, I think we move to adopt and accept the strategy from MINTEC.
Seconded by Honorable Lucas. Well, that handles the business for today, and we thank you very much, MINTEC, for setting time aside to come through and engage with us. And as we have indicated, we'll have keen interest in engaging you further on the beneficiation, work. Thank you very much. The meeting is adjourned.
Thank you.
I think it's about the message. you know, you put on the
Now, the first thing that you think about that is that actually it's a tic tac. You know, the question is, where is it?
But it seems to be the same.
And it's there. But basically,
just went
in
straight in.
Obvious.
Ground bloody close up.
Now, what about this young saint?
The what?
The young saint, he said I was talking about. You remember those?
The lady you spoke about?
No, the young man. Remember the one? Yeah. The one that is not good.
Was it the one with the geology thing?
Remember, the explanation of meteorites was spot on.
Most
of them burn up in the Earth's atmosphere. One of the biggest surviving ones is outside Kootfontein in Namibia. They're in the ground. And I stood next to it. And it's almost the perfect stainless steel.
Okay.
It is hundreds of thousands of years old, and there's no rust in it. Stainless steel. Yeah, 20 tons.
So how many of them are there, actually?
No, they're nearly all up circling the sun, because they don't circle the Earth, they circle our sun. A million of kilometers away. And there are billions of those meteorites circling in an orbit. And what happens is, due to friction, they gradually get towards